You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire, and we are now talking about broadcasting. As you may have known, last week the government also announced work will begin on a business case for creating a new supersized public broadcaster, merging Radio New Zealand and Television New Zealand. The new entity would receive a mixture of both government funding and advertising. But the New Zealand Māori Council said this merger is not in the best interest of Māori, and any broadcasting reforms to public media must also ensure the sustainability of Māori or iwi broadcasting. I talked to the council's executive director, Matthew Tukaki, about this, and I first asked him about the current state of Māori and iwi broadcasting.
Well, it's a complete and utter mess. I mean, if you have a look at the where we've come from in terms of the Te Reo Māori claim in 1985 that brought into being Māori as the national language of New Zealand, right through to the spectrum claims and the Australian Enterprises Act that the Māori Council really went for gold on, we saw a brief rise of iwi Māori radio as a result of those claims to broadcast our messages across the airwaves. Back then it was pretty much just the AM band. And then all of a sudden we're in the world of digital media, online content, live streaming and all that sort of stuff. And yet the infrastructure is way back in the early 1990s. So there has been probably, we estimate, a good underinvestment by about $50 million in terms of equipment, technology and that sort of stuff, and a further $15 million underinvestment in building human potential. And what I mean by human potential is our young Māori in particular who want a career in broadcasting but find little way in, and of course there's limited numbers of places in Radio New Zealand and TVNZ, and so iwi Māori radio and broadcasting was always going to be a great breeding ground for young people to learn their trade, similar as a plumber or a gas sort of might do, and that whole opportunity has been lost. And now we're talking about a merger of TVNZ and RNZ. Well, we've already caught Television New Zealand trying to offshore and outsource the Māori content archive to Getty Images in the United States, and we put a stop to that last year. So how can we trust that a merger will benefit our people when the evidence tells us something altogether different?
I've got a friend who also is working in iwi radio right now, and what he told me, the infrastructure is really backdated. But apart from infrastructure, what about programming? Is there like enough funding from government like New Zealand On Air to make stories in Te Reo, or what about the airtime or major networks?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's not just about the infrastructure, you're absolutely right, it's about the programming as well. I mean, you know, in order to project a message, you've got to have the infrastructure to be able to do that. But then the second part comes to what is it we are projecting? And we've got to be conscious that that not all Māori speak Te Reo Māori, so we can't exclude them. So it's a combination of Te Reo Māori and content produced in English as well. And yet when we see the amount of money being spent on just about everything else, well, the government will always tell you there is a lift in investment in programming. The truth is a lot of non-Māori organisations end up getting it. And so we spread the talent too thinly. But, you know, when you have a look at the quality of news broadcasting and journalism in New Zealand, particularly in the Te Reo Māori world, if more money was spent on good quality investigative journalism, and I'll give you an example. The best piece of investigative journalism came from the newsroom platform when they published the story on the uplift of the baby in the Hawke's Bay. And yet we know there are a massive number of stories out there just waiting to be told of the same vein, and yet only one ever gets told. And so if we were investing more in programming that wasn't just about documentary or filmmaking, but good quality investigative journalism, then I dare say that a lot of the problems that Māori are saying they face would come to light a lot sooner and a lot quicker. But that's a tragedy, you know, on the cusp of Taika Waititi winning an Oscar for his amazing, incredible work. Here we are having a conversation about how we can build more and develop up more Taika Waititis, you know, more Nancy Brunnings, more documentary filmmakers, more news readers, more journalists, but we seem to have stalled.
But why do you think that current newsrooms or broadcasters are less willing to broadcast news stories in about Te Ao Māori?
Well, it's not just about Te Reo Māori. It's very much about the age-old problem of what creates quality news and journalism. I mean, I myself am the chairman of News Now, which is a very large global news content distribution company. I'm also a former talkback radio host in Sydney on 2UE 2GB, which is our country's biggest network. And when you have a look at what is being produced, are we talking about real good news, or are we talking about lifestyle, magazine, entertainment-style news? Because let's face it, the quality of what is being produced in New Zealand is not that great. I mean, you've got some fantastic journalists out there, like Tove O'Brien, like all of these different people. But does that convert into what's shown on our screens or on the radio waves? And I would argue not. And the other thing too is news has become very opinionated. It's the job of newsrooms to report the news, not be the news, not make up the news, or not have opinions based on what is happening in terms of national, local, or even global events. And that opinion is creeping in. I mean, we see that when it comes to Māori being unfairly targeted in some of these stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there are some talkback radio hosts and some hosts in general in broadcasting who probably should have stayed back in the 1950s with their worldviews.
Definitely. But how is a stronger and sustained Māori or iwi broadcasting going to benefit New Zealand as a whole?
Well, it gets our stories out there, and I'll give you an example. Let's talk about racism in New Zealand. Let's talk about what creates racism, which is generally a lack of understanding between two different or multiple cultures that creates angst, it creates anger, it creates a divide. What can help overcome that anger and that divide is the art of storytelling, of people better understanding the points of view and perspectives that people are coming from. Our history. I mean, New Zealand for a very long time has grown up with a single viewed history in our curriculum, and of course that's about to change. But, people think, a lot of people used to think that Captain Cook discovered New Zealand for crying out loud. How can you discover a place when there's already people here? And so it's about bringing down walls and those divides that spring up, and storytelling and iwi Māori broadcasting investment in that storytelling help play a significant role. I lament the fact that we have other now ethnic groups who have arrived in New Zealand to call New Zealand home, but they themselves also don't know enough about our history. And so by including them and becoming much more diverse as a nation, we also need to understand where we came from in order to better map out where we're going.
My final question for now is, you mentioned quite a lot about investing infrastructure for local stations, and right now the government is going to reform public media in the forms of Radio New Zealand and TVNZ. What aspects are you expecting them to change on?
Well, first of all, I'm expecting a lot more engagement with Māori. I'm looking for a lot more investment into the development of iwi Māori broadcasting, because I do not trust that a merger of TVNZ or RNZ would increase the amount of content and programming being developed. And indeed, we might see the dissipation of it. But I'm also wanting to see, similar to the SBS network in Australia, the Special Broadcasting Service, it's called, that also develops up media opportunities for other ethnic groups, Chinese media and content, Indian content, media from the Sikh community, from the Pacific community, from all of these different diverse networks and communities. And we have Māori television, which is fantastic, but we also have to look more deep and more broader if we're going to develop up this rich multicultural society that a lot of people want. So for me, I have high expectations, but I'm easily disappointed by the government these days. Sometimes they just need a good kick in the backside. And I'd also warn the government that bringing in consultants like PwC there in Wellington, who grace the towers of the waterfront, that quite frankly I am sick and tired of being told which way to turn in my sleep because of an international consulting company. Now, if the government don't have the skills internally, then maybe they should have a look at acquiring those skills instead of always relying on some sort of big global consulting company to tell us what's good for us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.